and it hurt my bones to lay. Stayed in the city, no exception to the rules, to the rules. He was born to love me, I was raised to be his fool, Lord, his fool.
Walk that line,
torn apart, gotta spend your whole life trying.
Ride that train,
and free your heart. It's midnight up in I went down to the river, and I took a look around. There were old man's shoes, there were needles on the ground. No more mysteries, be secrets, now my clue. Stars are out there, you can almost see the moon. The streets are windy and the subway's closing down.
Welcome to Garden Party on X-Ray FM, where radio is yours. I'm Megan McMillan, an Oregon State University Extension Master Gardener volunteer. You normally catch me here throwing a little garden party on the radio monthly on Mondays, usually the last Monday of the month at 1 o'clock. That's maybe where you found me today. That's maybe where you found me on the archives. And you know what? If you are listening to me on the archives and you didn't get a chance to donate during our spring drive, you can still become a member. And that is so, so important, because if you are one that listens to me on the archives, or I mean, heck, even if you're catching me live, and I appreciate you for doing that, those archives cost about $5,000 to maintain. It's a good chunk of change. And honestly, y'all, our spring drive is just about keeping the lights on, keeping radio yours. We don't get public funds. We don't get, that big corporate moolah there. So radio is yours. That means we need to ask for a little bit of help. And you did not miss your chance. If you did not get in on the spring fun drive, you can still join us as a member. Just my little soapbox there. But as I said, maybe I didn't say, I'm not actually here in the studio today. I'm somewhere else out in the universe. And, I live a pretty simple life in terms of what I worship on a daily basis. It's the sun and the moon. What church do I belong to? Of course, it's the Church of Baseball. There's no question about that. But what is my annual mecca? That is New Orleans Jazz Fest, of course. So I am pre-recording today's show, and I'm sharing songs with you that are from acts who are playing this year's fest. So even if you can't travel to NOLA with me, you are getting in on a little bit of that fun. The song that you just heard to start the show, that was Midnight in Harlem from Tedeschi Trucks Band off their 2011 album, Revelator. So we're not here to talk about tunes necessarily, though. We're here to talk about plants. And as you are hearing me talk about those plants, you might be hearing that I'm not sounding too great right now. So is it allergies? Is it the plague that only a small child can bring into my home? It's probably a little bit of both. But on the subject of allergies, I'm going to go ahead and bust a myth that TikTok has probably fed you in the last couple of weeks, as it is allergy season across the United States and certainly here in Portland. And that is the myth of biological sexism. So let's break down what that is. There's this myth out there that's, you know, I want to give it, it's a little bit true, but it's mostly false, that cities plant more male trees because female trees are inconvenient to those city planters. They are inconvenient in the urban environment because they're the ones that fruit and then they create a mess and no one wants to clean up a mess, et cetera, et cetera. So there's this conspiracy against all of us that urban planters have planted more male trees, and that's why we have more pollen, and that's why allergies are worse. And that is summed up as this project called, conspiracy, as this myth called biological sexism. And so, not exactly. So you can't have biological sexism without talking about biology. So let's talk about plants and trees and how those trees reproduce, because that's what we're talking about here. We're just talking about reproduction. So there's essentially three different ways that trees are going to reproduce. You've got your monoecious plants, you've got your dioecious plants, and then there's this third bucket that's honestly a lot of words that I can't pronounce, that it's more complicated than you are either a plant that has both female and male parts, or female or male parts. That's the monoecious or dioecious. Let's just call it polygamous. there's some polygamous trees out there. That's a whole different category. We're not going to talk about that today. And so there's this idea that in an urban environment, especially as we're trying to plant more street trees and all those good things that we want to do, because trees are the best, there's this idea that we are planting more male trees. And, I guess, a lot of trees have both male and female reproductive structures on them, or they're in that third category of polygamous. So that's not even necessarily true, because that would mean that every kind of tree out there just is either male or female, and that's not accurate at all for trees. So take that one off the table. And then even for those trees that are only male, or trees that are only female, you know, there's not always parallels between the human race and trees. But one thing that is true, just like reproduction in humans or really any other male, any other male mammals, those male trees, in every situation, whether there's a female tree right next door or not, are always going to put out many, 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 by the thousands, maybe millions, I should verify that, maybe millions, more pollen than a female tree could ever absorb or retrieve. So even if we planted an equal amount of female trees to male trees, those female trees would still never, ever, ever be able to absorb all that male pollen that is getting put out there. That's because it's really, really similar to how males put out a ton of sperm, way more sperm than that one female egg in most cases of mammalian reproduction could ever actually absorb and use. So the same thing is going on out there. It's not as simple. It's not this conspiracy. I totally get why we want to jump on this train of biological sexism. There's a lot of things to be angry about out there in this world right now. But I would like to ask everyone to just calm down a little bit and chill out. There is no conspiracy that urban planners have against us to plant only male trees, because, number one, let's recap, that's not how most trees work. And number two, even if there were female trees and male trees right next to each other, there's still going to be way more pollen out there than those female trees could ever absorb. So frankly, those urban planners are basing their decisions in science. They're basing their decisions in research. They're making the right choice, because otherwise you would be complaining about how annoying all of this fallen and wasted and rotting fruit is, and the rodents that it's attracting, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So whatever you hear on TikTok out there, just make sure that you're going back to the science of it. You're going back to the biology of it. Now, you want to know a great city for urban trees? That's the Crescent City, of course. So let's take a break. Hear the Crescent City Strut from Astro Project. Super, super cool jazz group based out of New Orleans since 1978. Welcome back to Garden Party on X-Ray FM. That was Ooh Papa Do from the legendary Wanda Ruzan. And if you don't have a smile on your face right now, well, I think you need to take a break from reading the news, at least just for today. So, something that I do read on a weekly basis is this newsletter that I get from the author of Atomic Habits. I got on that bandwagon a couple of years ago, and although I normally hate email newsletters, I can't jump off that bandwagon because every week a new gem appears in my inbox, and there's one that came last week that I really wanted to share with all of you. It said, "Life isn't a race. You aren't ahead. You aren't behind." And I love that one in general because it reminds us to just sort of be where we are. You're not ahead, you're not behind, just be where you are, relax. But it's also very relevant to gardening because one of the whole benefits of gardening is the process. Of course, we're in it for the outcome. We're in it for the beautiful flowers. We're in it for supporting nature. We are in it for the food that we're going to grow. But the process is just as important and just as fun and beneficial to our health, frankly. And I really, really found this "you aren't ahead, you aren't behind" helpful when it comes to managing weeds, because that is, to be honest, what I am struggling with this time of year in the garden, and it can get a little overwhelming at times. But first things first, let's just talk about what is a weed, right? A weed is just a plant that we as humans have decided is causing a problem for us. It is either taking up too much space or it's showing up where we don't want it to be. It's just a human invented term. It's a human invented category. This isn't a biological term. This isn't a scientific definition, right? And so, you know, when you are deciding whether something is a weed or not, you know, just be really, really thoughtful about why you are deciding that it needs to go. And like all things, just be intentional about what plants you want where, because on the same vein, you wouldn't say that a dahlia, for example, which you normally need to be growing in full sun, if you tried to grow it in full shade and it wasn't growing very well, you wouldn't say that it's a weed because it's not where you want it to be or it's not behaving the way that you wanted it to be. And so it just goes back to the same principle that we always talk about, which is right plant, right place. And that goes for plants that we either want to have there or we're surprised that they are there or we don't want to have there. Because there are even some plants that you can't just call necessarily good or bad. They might be in the middle. It might just depend on where they are. And so let's take a couple examples of these. A stinging nettle, for example. If I had a really large property and I had a woodland garden, I would be fine with stinging nettle being on the perimeter of that garden. It's not bothering me. It's great for wildlife. It's great to use for medicinal purposes. So there's nothing necessarily bad about that, but I might not want it because of how easily it spreads. I might not want it really close to my house where I have a seeding area where I'm trying to curate a specific arrangement or array of foliage and flowers and those sort of things. And I don't like how it spreads and takes over too much. So, you know, neither good or bad. Here's another one. Both of these are in my front yard. Borage. For example, it's going to self-sow like crazy. Raspberry. If you have planted raspberry, you know that, and you planted it in the ground instead of a container, you know that it is going to come up wherever it darn pleases to do. And it's on you to cultivate the garden that you want, to manage that plant and manage your property, and get rid of those volunteers wherever they come up, because you're not going to say, well, borage and raspberry are weeds. Borage and raspberry are invasive plants. I don't want them here. It's just about right plant, right place. It doesn't mean don't plant it. And on that line, you know, I want to give a shout out to the Humble Dandelion. Give it some love. I will share a secret with you. I let dandelion bloom in my garden. And the reason why is because it's one of the earliest sources of food for pollinating insects like native bees. If you think about when do you know it's spring, right? For me, one of the ways that I know that the seasons are shifting is I start seeing dandelions blooming. And the native pollinators know that too, and they need that. And particularly in the food desert of the average suburban or urban garden, those dandelions are actually a blessing. So I let them bloom. What I try to do is I try to not let them go to seed because, you know, I'm trying to be a good suburban citizen. I'm aware that they will spread beyond my property. I'm aware that they will spread within my property, maybe to places that I don't want them to be. But it's all about just sort of being very intentional about what you're growing and the impact that it has on the other plants you're trying to grow and on the world around you, which that's a wonderful behavior to have. And doesn't necessarily mean that it's a weed or not a weed. But if you are looking for more guidance on this, there's a couple of really good resources for you. So if you are here in the city of Portland, I encourage you to go to the City of Portland's website and look up something called the Portland Plant List. And what's really cool about this is right in one list, it gives you plants that are both native to the Portland area. There's actually a subsection of it. It's really cool. It's hyper local to the airport area, which I love. But there's also plants that are a nuisance in the Portland area. And it gives you visuals and it gives you guidance and it tells you if you need and want to remove them, whether you need to just deadhead them and make sure they don't go to seed or whether you need to dig them all up and get the roots up. So the Portland Plant List is a really great resource for you. If you are here in the city of Portland, don't look up the Portland Weed List. That is a totally different thing. It's the Portland Plant List that you are going to be looking for. If you are not here in the city of Portland, you can go to oregon.gov, actually go to the Department of Agriculture's website, and opposite of in Portland, you actually are going to look up something called the Oregon State Weed Board. And it is the kind of weed that I'm talking about here on the program today. Don't get too excited. And that is going to give you really, really good guidance on whether something is a noxious weed or not, because that's what you actually really need to pay attention to more than anything else, because a noxious plant has been designated by a government agency. In this case, it's the state of Oregon. They're looking out for us. And they're saying, hey, this is something to watch out for. This is a top priority for weed control across our state because it's a serious pest. It's causing harm to the environment. It might be causing harm to public health. It might be causing economic loss. It's choking out crops, or it's clogging waterways, or it's threatening native plant communities. So a noxious weed is something that really should get all of our attention. And that's the case where you do want to pay attention to it. You do want to be aware of what to look for on your property. Because again, whatever you're trying to grow and cultivate on your own property, we're all part of the same tapestry at the end of the day. And so whatever you've got going on in the land that you cultivate does impact others, because we know seeds can spread by wind, by birds, by other animals. And so do get a hold of that noxious weed list. And so most of these noxious plants are here because they were transported here either intentionally or maybe they hitchhiked a little bit on global shipping routes and they came from a different place. And so you might be asking, well, what's wrong with these plants? Were they a noxious plant in the place that they came from? And for a large part, the answer is no. Those plants were not noxious. They were not a threat to the environment or to the economy or to human and animal health in the place that they came from, because they came from an ecosystem that they were already a part of that worked together. There were pathogens there that kept them in check. There were predators in there that ate those plants that kept them in check. There was a balance there. And we humans mucked it all up, and we disrupted that balance by introducing plants that our ecosystem here wasn't quite ready for, and threw out of balance. And so, for the most part, you know, again, there's no bad plant. They weren't bad where they originated. They just threw things out of balance here, and so that requires us to intervene a little bit. One that you might be surprised of that is a noxious weed, and this is one that if you have this in your garden, you probably love it. It's a butterfly bush. And a butterfly bush, there's a few, very few specific approved varieties that nurseries can provide. You've got to ask about it. But if you have a butterfly bush in your yard, if you want a butterfly bush, it's really, really important for you to know that that is actually considered a noxious plant here because it spreads so easily. Remember, we're halfway between the equator and the North Pole. We are in a perfect place for things to live and grow. And while the butterfly bush, of course, supports butterflies, and we love that, and it's beautiful, it also dominates the spaces that it is in, and it spreads like crazy. And so if you have a butterfly bush in your yard, I really do want to encourage you to, if you're not going to remove it, you at least have to deadhead it before those flowers turn into seeds, because those seeds are going to spread like crazy. And then that protected wildlife habitat that is miles away, that you maybe think, well, that's so far away. Whatever I do in my yard isn't going to affect that. Well, actually, it will. And we don't want to see that space completely covered in butterfly bush, because then it will not feed the native species that we need to support. So if you're not going to remove it, at the very least, deadhead it before those flowers turn into seeds. But better yet, I really, really do want to encourage you to replace it. There's some amazing native plants and shrubs. Your local nursery is a good bet for this. But there's awesome, awesome stuff out there that you can replace it with that is going to be much, much better for you. Of course, no matter where you are in the state of Oregon, you can get resources, you can get your questions answered on managing plants that you maybe are not sure or you don't want to see in your yard by contacting your local master gardener through your county extension agency here in the Portland area. That is going to be metromastergardeners.org. We're going to take another break and close out with a jam here from Kinfolk Brass Band. This is their cover of I Want to Dance with Somebody. This is X-Ray FM, where radio is yours. Welcome back to Garden Party on X-Ray FM, KXRY Portland, where radio is yours. We are going to wrap up today by encouraging you to get out there over the next couple of weeks and hit up some plant sales, because it is one of the most fun ways to support, in a lot of cases, a nonprofit organization or even your local extension master gardener agency or your county master gardener team, and head home with very, very well-grown little starts and seedlings that might be something that you wouldn't have grown on your own. It might surprise you a little bit. And it's really just a fun way to spend a Saturday. If you are here in the Portland area, hit up the Multnomah County Master Gardener Sale. It's called the Incredible Edibles Plant Sale, coming up on Saturday, May 9th from 10 to 2. You can look it up at the Multnomah County Master Gardener Association website, metromastergardeners.org. And this one is really, really fun because, as it sounds, it's all plants that are going to grow something that you can eat. Maybe it's the plant itself. Maybe it is a fruit that it's going to grow. I know this one is known for just a massive amount of different kinds of peppers and tomatoes. If you come back for the next episode of Garden Party, I'm actually going to tell you how to take care of those peppers and tomatoes. Those are in the nightshades family. So that is going to be a really, really good source of those. You're going to be able to get a bunch of different kinds of herbs. So that's a really, really fun one to hit up. If you are out in Washington County, or you are willing to take a little trip out on the Sunset Highway, coming up on May 2nd is the Garden Fest Plant Sale. That is going to be out at PCC Rock Creek. A really fun part of that is that you are actually going to get to pick up plants and also see plants, because the Washington County Master Gardener Association has an education garden out there, which is a super, super fun place to learn with your eyes. You are learning with your ears here on Garden Party FM, but sometimes you need a little bit of a follow-up lesson. Definitely come out and talk to your Washington County Master Gardener friends at Garden Fest Plant Sale. That's not just going to be edible plants. There's going to be thousands of different plants, expertly selected just for you here in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of native plants there. And you can also talk to a master gardener right on site, so that's super fun. And let's not forget about our neighbors to the east in Clackamas County. They have a garden fair the same weekend. That's both Saturday, May 2nd and Sunday, May 3rd. That is out at the Clackamas County Fairground. And it sounds like that's quite the party. So that's just a couple of the plant sales that you can get to out there. But really, I mean, there's so much going on in the gardening world. MetroMasterGardeners.org is a great way to hear about upcoming events, whether it's some of our classes that we offer for free, some of those plant sales out there. One word of wisdom, though, as you go to those plant sales. Now, I am all about the barter-based economy. I'm all about it, y'all. So if you are trading starts with neighbors, or if you are, you know, of course, I'm always going to condone swapping seeds. But if you are not going to, maybe your MetroMaster gardeners who are using evidence-based methods of plant propagation, do look pretty carefully and just ask a lot of good, curious questions about what you are going to buy and then bring into the space that you are cultivating. There is a new enemy out there, and it is the jumping worm. And one of the ways that it spreads, it does not belong here. It turns the soil basically into like coffee grounds, not in a good way. And it kind of destroys the soil structure. It's the opposite of the kind of the worm that we want. And one of the ways that it spreads is through plants being transferred from place to place, and maybe it's already in that soil. And so do just ask good questions. You know, it shouldn't ruffle any feathers. We're just trying to keep our world safe. About, hey, tell me more about how this was propagated. Did you use native soil from your garden to grow it? Or were you maybe growing it in ground in a nursery bed? Or were you using bagged soil? Have you ever noticed any jumping worms? Are you aware of jumping worms? And it's, you know, it's the responsible thing to do. It's okay to be cautious, but, you know, that's one of those things you really, really need to look for and ask good questions about. And as always, any plants that you are bringing into your space, just understand where they came from. Give them a good look over, right? Give them a good look down. You want to see that they are looking healthy. You don't necessarily want to see on a tiny, tiny seedling that they have gone to flower quite a bit. In fact, if I got that and I took it home, I would probably do a little bit of a Chelsea chop on any of those flowers that I saw, because I want the plant to invest in growing its root system. I want it to invest in growing its main structure and its foliage so it can feed itself and it can be strong before I want it to produce flower and fruit. So you're not necessarily looking for a miniature version of a mature plant, but you are looking for a strong stem that shows no signs of damage. You are wanting to get your hands down in the roots a little bit. See how root-bound it is. It's not a disaster, but you want to look at those roots. You can actually sort of very gently take it out of the container, because you want to see some, for the most plants, it's going to be like healthy sort of white looking roots. They're going to be kind of thick. They're not going to look shriveled. They're not going to look rotted. You can even smell the roots. I know this is really weird, y'all, but smell the roots. Use all five senses here, since you can only use one sense really here with me on the radio. When you are going out and you are going to nurseries, you're going to plant sales, you're doing swaps, just use all those five senses, and including that sixth sense of your own intuition and your mind, and asking questions. Because the last thing that you want to do is bring a plant home and then it has an impact on your garden that you did not want it to have. Of course, if you have questions along the way, that is exactly what we as Oregon State University Extension Master Gardeners are here to support you with. If I was live on air today, I would be bugging you to text me with your questions. But since this is a pre-record, I am going to send you to MetroMasterGardeners.org. They will get your questions answered from an OSU Extension Master Gardener volunteer. Or, of course, you can join me next month on my May episode of Garden Party, where, as I mentioned before, I'm going to be getting into nightshades and how to grow those peppers and tomatoes. And we're even going to get into eggplants a little bit. Because That's fun. Purple things are fun. So you can catch me doing that next time. For today, this is Garden Party on X-Ray, where radio is yours.
I went to a garden party to reminisce with my old friends. A chance to share old memories and play our songs again. When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me, I didn't look the same. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. People came from miles around, everyone was there. Yoko brought a walrus, there was magic in the air. And over in the corner, much to my surprise, Mr. Hughes hidden Dylan's shoes, wearing his disguise. But it's alright now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. Played them all the old songs, thought that's why they came. No one heard the music, we didn't look the same. I said hello to Mary Lou, she belongs to me. And I sang a song about a honky-tonk, it was time to leave. But it's all right now, I learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La-da. Door and out stepped Johnny B. Goode, playing guitar like a ring and a bell, and looking like he should. You gotta play at garden parties, I wish you a lot of luck. But if memories were all I sang, I'd rather drive a truck. But it's alright now, learned my lesson well. You see, you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. La da da. Can't